All right, it is indeed a series-winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network, soon to be joined by our friends on Sportsnet TV. The number to call and leave your questions or comments is 416-413-3959. You can text us 590-590. All right, Kevin. Putting the boots to the Oakland Athletics is one thing.
Yep.
We could probably put together a team of folks from down here in this floor and at least give them a run.
Well, we'd try.
You'd hit cleanup. But taking two of three from a team a lot of people think is going to represent the National League in the World Series. Some people think may win the World Series. Do you feel any different about this 33-29 Blue Jays team right now? Any better than you felt about them at any time this year?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think the adjustments that the older pitchers have made in the rotation to give a lineup a chance, right? I mean, we've heard Bassett the way he's talked the last couple of outings where he wasn't happy with what he was trying to do. You know, he's moved around the rubber today. You know, the lefties that he's had to face, you know, they had six in the lineup today. It was coming in, lefties are hitting 321 off him. You knew sort of that was going to either make him or break him. You know what he did? He had 13 outs. Well, he walked a guy, so he had 12 outs. He faced 13 of them before he gave up a hit. That was the Schwarber RBI single. I mean, that's sort of exactly what you have to do. The lineup's doing whatever it takes. I mean, I just, Jeff, I don't know how you walk away from this series not going, man, maybe this Jays team's pretty good. I mean, you know, if they ever figure out how to get Vladdy heading in the right direction, they get Tony back, they get Varsho healthy, you continue to get what you're getting from guys that just know their role. I mean, give John credit, Snyder, the manager, and all the coaching staff. Just sort of everybody knows their role. They know when they're playing. They know what they have to do. They know what they're going to be asked to do. They just go out there and be themselves. And one through nine, I mean, just consistently, I think you're seeing that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Jays fan, if you're on the outside looking in, I don't know how you don't look differently at them.
No, I'll tell you what. I think John Schneider's had a pretty damn good two-week run here.
You know, I'm going to say a year.
You look at this team, an 8-3 loss in that first game against the Phillies where Bowden Francis was awful. And I think, you know, after coming off that series sweep of the Athletics, you're going, okay, this is reality. Then they win 2-1 yesterday, a walk-off courtesy of Alejandro Kirk, and then today putting the boots to Jesus Luzardo, who is now, I mean, if you're the Phillies now, you're probably looking at his last two starts and wondering what's gone on. But at one point this year, he was pretty damn impressive. He was one of the most impressive starters in baseball, and he's a guy that features a bunch of stuff that you would think would normally trouble this team. But Kevin, you know, Bo, it's a home run. The bottom of the order, the bottom four, bottom three in the order, terrific. A lot of big hits, a lot of getting on base. And as you mentioned, Chris Bassett, you know, I was asked in the pregame show with Sho Ali about Chris Bassett and what my level of concern was with him given his recent starts. And I said, the one thing I know I've learned about Chris Bassett is just when you start to think that all the innings and all the pitches – and that everything's combining to him, and that, you know, the glass slipper's going to, all that stuff. You begin to think that, okay, maybe we're starting to see some of the threads fraying a little bit here. He does something. It's not like he reinvents himself, but he makes an adjustment. Today, at least, he started on the first base side of the rubber.
Yep.
Now, as you pointed out, as the game went on, he gradually moved to the middle. But whatever he was doing on the other side of the rubber, Kevin, I mean, I'm looking at my scorecard here. You know, you talked about it. Strikeout swinging, 6-3, strikeout swinging, 6-3-6. He gave up a double to Castellanos. Then he gets Kepler to fly out, comes inside on him. And I mean, that was, by that point, the Jays score four runs. And this is the first time in a long time. It's the first time in a long time that I went into the third inning thinking, I think this thing is done. 4-0 Jays. It's the first time in six games they've scored first. But I just got this sense that the game was done. So, I mean, credit Chris Bassett. This is the Chris Bassett experience, right? It's, you got to pay attention because something different's going to happen.
Yeah, the 2.73 ERA at home in the six starts, I think, gave you confidence that at least at home he's going to compete. He'll give you at least, you know, if you're a fan of the Jays, a fighting chance to cheer for the lineup to have the big inning, which is a big deal, right? It's the 53% strike one percentage. You know, league average is a little over 60%. with him, you don't read too much into that. It's just, you know, coming into this thing, I mentioned the lefties, the six lefties that were going to face at least the top of the order, those lefties that you really got to grind through and get out. You knew to make your curve relevant, mm-hmm. you had to be really good and make a team uncomfortable, at least the lefties, with the sinker and the cutter. So how do you do that? You change sort of how they're looking at you standing on the mound. Now, I know probably, and we'll find out what he says about moving around on the rubber. I'm sure that's more about lanes and keeping the sinker and the cutter in the zone a little bit longer, making it a tougher take against those. But I've faced dudes that move that far on the rubber to the first base side and be right-handed. As a left-handed hitter, it's very hard to sort of put, you know, the tension on your neck to look over there to try and find the slot. You lose track of where home plate's at, and you start swinging at things you don't want to swing at. So, you know, I'm sure that's probably not what he was intending for that to do. It's more about the lanes of the sinker and cutter trying to make people uncomfortable. But, I mean, give him credit, right? I mean, what with the lefties, 1-for-17 with a walk. He gave up one RBI single. I mean, how much better could you get?
It is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, now on Sportsnet. Hello to our friends on the TV side. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can text us at 590-590. Standard message and data rates may apply. Or you can leave a comment for us, 416-413-3959. Please leave your name and location as well. The Blue Jays, 9-1 winners over the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll get to you to the post-game interviews in a minute. A couple of things I want to set up. The Jays now go on to face the Minnesota Twins in a 3-game series starting tomorrow. Pablo Lopez will not pitch in that series for the Twins. He's out for 3 months with a shoulder injury. Carlos Correa did not play today. The Twins are getting their you-know-whats handed to them by Oakland. Carlos Correa did not play today with a back issue. So that gets you caught up in that. The Jays are now 4 games over 500 for the first time since they were 12-8. Let's go live to John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays.
Playing well, you know, it's a good homestand, 6-1. They're good. They're tough, and I thought we pitched really well the last 2 games and swung the bats really well today. But what it says about us is, you know, I think that I continue to think that we're a good team. And we can play with anyone is kind of how I feel about it. But it starts with starting pitching, and Hosey and Chris were really good.
Rebound outing from Bassett. What did you see today that was different than the past 2 starts for him?
A little bit better velo early on his fastball. He mixed his pitches well. Curveball was a good pitch, especially to their lefties. And, you know, I thought he pitched in well, you know. Got a couple quick outs in and limited damage. You know, Trey hit the ball hard there for their run. But I think when you play a team like that, you have to try to limit the amount of homers. You know what I mean? It was evident in game 1. So he pitched in, worked away, commanded everything well.
I know 4-game sweeps are tough no matter who you're playing. But after the Oakland series, to come back Tuesday and get knocked around like that, to be able to bounce back and say, okay, so you know what, even though this is a really good team, we're still doing that. What does that show?
Yeah, I love the way they went about it. You know, it's kind of been their MO the whole year, really. And there's been close games that haven't gone our way. And it seems like they're kind of going our way a little bit more right now. But to start the series the way it did and to end it, you know, big win last night, and then to carry it over against another tough starter, it says a lot about the guys.
And I know this is your expectation, but how does it feel now to be sitting in a playoff spot?
Yeah, that's great. That's kind of what you sign up for every single year, you know what I mean? Whole lot of baseball left, that's for sure, and that's great right now, but you gotta move on to a long, tough road trip and kind of just keep taking it one at a time. But I think that's the goal. That's the expectation here for sure.
Hey, John, I know Tyler Heineman only plays every third game or so, but he's hitting .404 with a .976 OPS. What do you make of those numbers?
Pretty good. Heine, I think he understands his role, understands what he brings to the team. And I think that he, I don't want to speak for him, but I think for the first time really in his career, he's understanding what he can do offensively and where, like what pitches and where he can handle. he's been great. You know what I mean? He's been great. I think if you were to tell me he was hitting what he's hitting right now, I would probably not believe you at the beginning of the year. But those things happen with guys. And I think when you're convicted in what you're doing, it can happen like that. But he's been awesome.
Hey, John, on Heinemann and Strawn, those guys, the role players, how much of a luxury is it when they come in and they produce?
Yeah, I mean, Miles has been great all year, and he's another one who just understands kind of, you know, when he's going to play, what is needed from him. He's a gamer. You know, he's been awesome to have the entire year, and I think Heine is kind of really kind of dove in to being Kirky's backup and understanding, you know, we want to keep him out of games that he's not DHing in, and you don't want to force Kirky in a game. You want to do your part, and he's done that. But I think Miles in particular, he has been a very, very quietly good addition for us for so many different reasons, not just on the bases and defensively. I think he's kind of figuring some things out offensively too. So it is nice to have those guys.
And when those guys produce, do you feel maybe some weight come off guys like Bo and Vlad?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I think, you know, games that we do really well, I think the bottom of the order probably does their part. They're on base, and they're on base for the guys at the top. I think today, the biggest hit today for me was Bo after you score two and then hitting the two-run homer. And I thought we ran the bases really well. I think those guys, too, that they bring that element to the game, too. You know, they're smart and good base runners, so that just helps us score runs, and it is nice that it doesn't have to be the same single person or two every single night.
With Bo, it feels like we're sort of at peak Bo right now. Like, he's producing as well as he ever has. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I think he's been consistent all year, really. I mean, even since spring training. You know, you go back to spring training, he was really, really kind of locked in. The power has been really nice, you know, lately. And, you know, even his outs seem to be hard. So it's great. You know, he's one of the most talented hitters in the league. And to have him performing well and feeling like himself is when we're at our best.
To have him, I mean, the numbers show he's been much better in May, although he was solid in April. But to have him hit the ground running the way he did this season after missing so much time and after the season before that, the end of it going the way it did, I'm not going to ask if you're surprised by that because you know him so well. But is that a difficult thing to do? And what challenge has he risen to?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think last year was tough for him. Variety of different, you know, things between performance and health, you know. And you can never really count him out when you're talking about a guy who's going to compete and try to be better. You know what I mean? So it's not easy to do, but it's just Bo kind of coming back to his norm offensively. You know, he's that talented. So not surprised by it at all, I guess is the best way to put it.
Hey, John, whether it's performance or mindset from the guys, what are you seeing that's maybe suggesting that the roller coaster's leveling off a little bit?
I think the mindset hasn't really changed, to be honest with you. I think performance, when you're performing, you're scoring, it kind of just leads into everything. You know, it takes pressure off the pitchers. It allows them to get deeper into games. And I think that performance really kind of just justifies how we and the guys feel about our team is the best way to put it. So it's, you know, I can sit here, you know, a month ago and say, hey, we're right there, whatever. I think when you're there, it kind of just validates kind of how you feel, and then it takes a little bit of pressure off of everybody.
Does today's result give you clarity on tomorrow's starter, or is that still TBD?
It gives us more clarity, but still TBD. I think Rocco replied no before you guys. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
That is Jay's manager, John Schneider, after today's 9-1 win over the Philadelphia Phillies. And we'll go to Chris Bass in a minute. Wanted to sort of continue our conversation, Kevin. We will go to the phone line, 416-413-3959. But I mentioned the Jays are four over 500 for the first time since they were 12-8. Their record against teams that are over 500 is now 13-20. Their home record is 22-13 at home. And going into today's game, did a little bit of work. Going into today's game, they're second in the American League in home average, slug, and OPS. Now, granted, they did have that series against Oakland. They're third in home on-base percentage. We talked a little bit about this. To be successful, you have to have a home field advantage, and a lot goes into home field advantage. Mm-hmm. Are you starting to get the sense that maybe we're starting to see a little bit of that creep in here?
Yeah, maybe. I think Bo's starting to hit a little bit better.
They beat San Diego and Philly here. Never mind Oakland. They beat San Diego. They won series against the Padres and Philly here. And those are two teams that we've said, frankly, if you stuck them in the American League, would probably be better than any other team.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I think their best players are being their best players. I think that's what this comes down to. Kirky's starting to do things, you know, offensively that he hasn't been doing the last couple years. Barger's a little bit of a surprise. Bo, I think, is catching up to what everybody expected Bo to be. You know, I think they think the ball's carrying a little bit better at the Rogers Center. I mean, the ball that Bo hit today to right center, he pimped that like he knew he got it. When's the last time you saw him do that to right center? It's been a long time. Even Kirky last night thought he got that, and that went off the top of the wall. But the thought is that when it leaves the bat, they're thinking they got it because however, you know, the ball's carrying there. So, yeah, I just think it's the best players being the best players on the team, and then everybody else is filling in the blanks around them. And you know, again, you mentioned it. It's a lot about sometimes about who you're facing, but that's not the fault of the lineup. The lineup still has to go out, get the good pitches, take the pitcher's pitches. And I think, again, I mentioned this, about 3 weeks ago when everybody was yelling and screaming and saying, you know, this team can't slug. They can't slug. And I was like, let's pump the brakes a little bit. They're swinging at things they shouldn't be swinging at. If they take those, get the ones down the middle, they have enough talent to slug. Well, we're seeing that. So, you know, I think it's a combination of a bunch of things, but I do think it starts with you got to get a good pitch to hit. And everybody in the big leagues who plays every day should be able to hit a ball down the middle. And I think that's what you're seeing more times than not.
Connor in New Brunswick called us.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. After the series, and with the one coming up against the Twins, the Jays look like they have a much easier schedule, like you guys have said. What isn't to say that we couldn't go out on a run and potentially come out as wildcard leaders or favorites, or hell, even make it to the top of the AL East, considering we're in a very even, I wouldn't say weak, American League. I think we got the team to do it, and I think we're way more than due to get things rolling here. Just want to hear you guys. Thank you.
Kevin, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, well, you know, I think they got to figure out Bowden. I think they got to figure out, they have to have some insurance when it comes to the fifth guy. I mean, they run at about three different dudes in there. So, yeah, it's
hold your thought. It'll take some thought, Kevin. We're going to go to Chris Bassett.
What do you think you did today to make that happen? I moved back to the first base side, which I give a lot of credit to the entire Blue Jays organization. Like, because, I mean, the reality of it is like, the first base to third base side is a big move, but I never got any pushback or anything like that for it, so I'm grateful to be here and able to do that. But, it's just the biggest thing to me is just trusting the teammates, trusting myself, and going out there.
What went into that? Was that something that you drove and then Pete and everyone else was good with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall the last couple outings I've had to constantly sit back and be like, is this the right thing? Like, for my whole career, I pitched on the first base side. Last year, moved to the third base side. Obviously, we have 2 months in now, and I wasn't happy with where I was at. I wasn't happy with the length I was giving. I wasn't happy with the consistency. I wasn't happy with how my body was feeling. So it made it an easy move, but I was just more so happy to go in there and say, hey, I want to move back, and they were perfectly fine with it. So, again, I'm grateful that I'm here for that.
What does it do to your stuff to be on that other side?
That's too long of a conversation, really. I just felt I couldn't get the ball to the places that I wanted to get to consistently. And again, I for 2 months in, I didn't like the way my body was feeling. And I was like, I want to be really good for the whole year, a long time for the Blue Jays. And I think on the third base side, that may have been in question. So I was, it just, everything kind of told me just to go over there.
That aside, going into a game like today, after the way you won last night and this being a rubber match of a series against a really good team, do you feel like sort of, pressure is the wrong word, but do you want to like keep that momentum going? Is there something that you try to do that?
No, I don't try to do too much. I was just, I mean, I only had one bullpen to kind of like work on things. I understood the lanes were going to be a little different, but it was just trust your stuff. And obviously the offense did a really good job to give me a lot of run support pretty quick. So it made today easier in the aspect of having to move and then just being able to kind of attack and not really worry about, say, a one run or two runs and just work on things. And, yeah, I mean, all credit to the offense. I mean, you give me 8 runs after the third or fourth, it makes pitching a lot easier.
Chris, what does it mean to take 2 of 3 from a strong Phillies club?
Yeah, I mean, we'll take any wins we can get. But, I mean, obviously, them coming in here, I mean, I told everyone I think this is the first or second best team in the NL. So, with their starting pitching and their offense, they can easily win a World Series. So, yeah, to take 2 or 3 from them was obviously a big, and now just keep it going.
Chris, you guys have been getting a lot of production from the bottom of your lineup. Just from a pitcher's perspective, what kind of challenge does that present to a pitcher when there's kind of threats one through nine like that?
Yeah, I mean, the best lineups in the big leagues are the teams that have depth. I mean, you obviously, I think everyone points to the Dodgers and things like that, but I mean, it doesn't really matter who it is. Like 6, 7, 8, 9 are hitting you. From a starting pitching standpoint, you're not going to have a good day for the most part. So the bottom of the order constantly grinding at bats out and constantly being on base, it just basically takes all the pressure off of Bo or even just sets them up to do what they do. So, yeah.
Chris, John, most of the season has been saying you guys are this close to putting it all together. When you go through a 6-1 homestand, is that sort of a validation of that belief that you guys had internally that you'd be
I mean, yeah, we're always striving to be better, but I think it's just I don't really like looking at the standings, and I don't like looking at the long-term picture just because it doesn't really matter. It's just day-to-day. I think you have to have a work ethic, and you have to have like a game plan that's good and thought out, and then just execute it. And if it's right, just keep on the same page over and over and over. And if it's wrong, then make adjustments. But I think we're in a good spot right now where the offense is doing a really good job, and starters are starting to roll a little bit.
Would you say that work ethic's never wavered all season?
No, not at all. I think the belief, like the offensive belief has been there since day one. I think the pitching belief has been there since day one. Now it's just execute our game plans. And if, like I said, if it doesn't work, it's not a huge deal. We still have the guys to do the job.
About Bo, I mean, the run that he's on right now and a couple of big hits today, you haven't really, in your 3 years here, gotten to see the big-time Bo except for that first half of your first year. What are you seeing from him now?
I just think he's so composed. I think, yeah, I mean, he can get mad every once in a while at certain at-bats, but, I mean, overall, I just think he's not carrying a single thing day-to-day, and his approach and his understanding of the game is way more than most hitters. So the way when he's locked in, the way he's locked in to hit fastballs really hard to right center, and then you can't really get him out then with off-speed. So I don't really expect something else from Bo. I have very, very high expectations for him, so I think he's just kind of living up to my expectations more so than I'm like, holy crap, he's doing really good.
But at the same time, like, he's fourth in the majors in OPS with runners in scoring position this year. Mm-hmm. He's doing really well when it matters.
Yeah, it's again, I think it's just I expect Bo to do this. again, that's a lot of pressure, but I think he can handle it.
There you go. That is Chris Bassett, the winning pitcher today, as the Blue Jays beat the mm-hmm. Philadelphia Phillies 9-1. They've taken the series against the Phillies. They've capped off a 6-1 homestand. And next up is the Minnesota Twins in Minnesota. The schedule gets a little easier after this road trip. You got St. Louis, you got Philadelphia. Then maybe you get a chance to not necessarily cruise into the All-Star break, but you might be able to give yourself a little breathing room going into the All-Star.
Well, they still got to figure some things out, right? I mean, Vladdy's basically been late offensively all year. I mean, they got to try and figure that out, get him a little bit more on time. There will be a part of this season where he's going to have to step up and carry the lineup for a while. I mean, everybody else is doing it. I think it's about time for him to do that. And then there's other little things, right? It's more internally than it is who they're facing. If they can just figure out their own clubhouse, stay in that line, which Bassett was talking about, they'll be fine. They'll play meaningful games in September, which is what everybody wants, which will be a lot of fun to watch.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. You can leave us a question or comment. We're here until 7 o'clock. 590-590 is the text line. We're going to step away right now, take a quick break. We'll be back with more Blue Jays talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. Welcome back to Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker, the Blue Jays 9-1 winners over the Philadelphia Phillies at the Rogers Center. And Kevin, we heard a little bit from Chris Bassett earlier. Talk about you mentioned this at the start of the show. From a hitter's point of view, you've seen video of Bassett.
Yeah.
You know Chris Bassett. You've probably seen him before.
Yeah.
You go up to the plate and he's on the first base side of the rubber. Explain again what that does, especially to a left-handed hitter, what that does to his eyesight, to his eye line.
Well, that's a great question. Well, how important it is to split the plate in half. I talk about that all the time, the great hitters, and the Phillies have a bunch of great hitters, especially up front in their lineup. You want to eliminate half the plate against him. You don't want to be chasing him all around the strike zone, because if you do, it's going to be a long day. And Chris, just seemed to me, listening to him talk there about moving on the rubber, he's just more confident being over there, right? It sets the lanes, it just gives him a sort of a better release point to set up the slow breaking ball. I mean, that 20 mile an hour difference between, the sinker and the cutter is a big deal. You got to set the lanes. You got to get called strikes to be able to sort of attack both sides of the plate, right? Into lefties, into righties, up and into lefties, up and into righties. Right, you want to sort of have the same kind of release point. He just seems more comfortable over there. As a hitter, right, it just changed everything you're looking at. Plate awareness is a giant deal. And if I don't feel like I'm comfortable enough to know where the plate's at all the time, I'm going to chase things and swing at things I don't want to swing at. So, yeah, he's killing two birds with one stone. I mean, he kept it in the lanes. He was getting enough called strikes. He was getting them in swing mode. He expanded the plate. Expanded the plate means right at 17 inches now all of a sudden, because he's moved over on that rubber. Now all of a sudden that thing's like 20, 21 inches wide. As a hitter, now I'm trying to protect that thing, and a lot of people can't do that. So, yeah, I mean, that's exactly what the doctor ordered. Good for him to show some urgency, do that now, because he's confident on that side of the rubber, and give the organization credit, right? They moved him to the third base side of the rubber because the khakis are telling him, right, for whatever reason, that he's just better over there. Well, he's not confident over there. So give everybody credit for all getting on the same page. You went out there and dominated, and he mentioned it. When you're scoring four runs, and you even mentioned it, when you score four runs in the third inning against a team like the Phillies, it's a lot easier now to attack the strike zone, which is exactly what he did.
Let's take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Time now to take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard and the standings with Bet365. At Bet365, you can bet on popular markets like hits, home runs, and total bases. Download the app and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. Only one other AL East team has finished off its game today. And let me just take a look here. The Baltimore Orioles beating the Seattle Mariners. 4-3. Baltimore's kind of...
I'll call it a comeback.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, we've talked about what a great lineup that should be if they can find some pitching. But anyhow, the Orioles 4-3 winners. The Jays are going into Minnesota. Minnesota was hammered 14-3 by the Athletics today in Sacramento. I guess positive news, if you're the Blue Jays, you don't like to say that an injury is positive, but Pablo Lopez has been placed on the IL after leaving Tuesday's start early, and Carlos Correa was a scratch today with a recurring back issue. And, of course, Carlos Correa, between back issues and plantar fasciitis, his availability a lot of times, quite frankly, is on a day-to-day basis. So remains to be seen whether or not he will be available for the Twins tomorrow when they open that three-game series against the Blue Jays. The standings are as follows. The New York Yankees, they are 37-23. They have a game against the Guardians tonight. The Blue Jays, 33-29.
Ooh.
They are now 5 games out of the AL East.
That's crazy.
They have a wild card spot.
Hey,
this is significant. Their run differential.
Yeah.
We've talked about the importance of run differential in how a front office analyzes its team. Shai Davidi wrote an article on it as well. -1.
Wow.
So they're almost at the breakwater mark for run differential. Mm. Tampa Bay 32-29. As hot as the Jays have been, the Jays are 8-2 in their last 10. Tampa Bay is 7-3. The Red Sox, they're 30-34. And who knows what crisis awaits them. Because their next game is against the New York Yankees.
What can go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
And the Baltimore Orioles, 25-36.
Well, the East is fun. That's what it is. It's fun. Everybody bunched together like that. Nobody's running away with it. You know, we can't figure out if the Jays are any good, if the Red Sox stink. Like, you know, it's a little all over the place, which makes baseball fun, which makes your division fun, which gives everybody a chance, which gives a fan of Major League Baseball and just watching everything play out sort of makes it worthwhile, which is kind of fun.
Timothy in Vancouver, he had a voicemail for us.
Kevin, Dan and Joe had an interesting stat during the game that Mr. Alejandro Kirk is the top batter in the league with 2 strikes. Pretty impressive. With his defense and ability to throw runners out, we put him in the conversation as one of the best catchers in the league, or am I getting out over my skis here? And with that said, isn't his contract a bit of a discount now for a top-line catcher? Your thoughts on that? Have a good day, gentlemen.
I'll let you handle that, Kevin.
Well, I mean, but the contract thing, nobody said don't pay him. I just said, what's the hurry? And again, let's let this play out a little bit. It is a lot of fun to watch him doing it on both sides of the ball. Is he one of the best catchers in the American League? Absolutely. I mean, he's doing things offensively and defensively by making the adjustment, throwing people out. I mean, he's a little over 30% and throwing runners out. I mean, that's outstanding. The things he does, like the caller mentioned, with two strikes and 2 outs, driving in the big runs. He had 3 more hits today. He's hitting over 300. Mm. Yeah, he's got to be in the conversation. You know, it's just the little things, right? Can you win a World Series with him behind the plate? Mm. I mean, there's still that taking control of certain situations and getting certain pitchers through certain big parts of games that for me is still lacking. But all the other stuff, absolutely. The contract thing, I mean, well, it's...
Yeah, and I've also got to say this, though. I think, you know, Alejandro Kirk has one of the benefits of playing for the Blue Jays is that you've got 1,001 catchers analyzing you. Yeah. Buck, Joe, Dan, and I, or Buck, Joe, and Caleb, and I mean that sincerely. I'm not saying that to be facetious.
Yeah.
And I think as a result of that, there's a lot of focus, obviously, in Alejandro. But here's the thing.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I think the whole idea about how he handles pitchers and going out to talk to pitchers, that ain't him. That's not going to be him.
Boy, he needs to get better at that.
But
you're paying him to get better.
He may not.
Well, he needs to.
I mean, he may not. This is how many years is this now that we've seen this?
Well, this is really the first year he's been the starter, been the guy, right? It's right place, right time, too. Danny's turning down money here. And
yeah, but he didn't even
do that. Don't really have anything in the minor league system.
He didn't even do that last year when he was the guy.
He really wasn't the guy until the second half, right? I mean, it's I'm not saying he's not a good catcher. I'm just saying if you're trying to win a World Series, the payroll that they have, the expectations they have, the money you gave Kirky that a lot of organizations wouldn't give him.
I don't know.
Mean, again, it's.
I'm not sorry. I think Alejandro Kirk's value is being established this
year. Well, let's be honest. The last couple of years offensively hadn't been real good. I mean, it's been good for the first 2 months, and hopefully he keeps this going rotationally and all. You know, he's hitting the heater again, which he hasn't done the last 2 years.
He is giving them good value if you look at his wins above replacement. He's giving them good value.
Yeah, nobody says he's not playing well.
Raphael in Saint-Jean, Quebec, sent us a text. Should we start talking about a bow? You knew this was coming. Should we start talking about a bow extension? A core of him and Vlad for the next 10 years would be incredible to watch through their prime. 10-year deal
for Bo. You look at me. You want me to answer that first? Yeah, that's one of them things I'm playing out. I ask you.
I'm with you. I'm with you. No, I'm with you in this.
I'll ask you a question. How much did they won together? Tell me the truth. How much? I mean, you win a playoff round. Yeah, you have a serious conversation. Well, you don't, in my mind. Maybe you make some changes. You make it look different. The difference, okay, sometimes.
Speaking of Bo Bichette, let's go to Bo Bichette.
In 100 words or less, how did you get from where you were at the end of last season to where you are right now, which is sort of where you were 3 years ago?
I mean, I think it's where I've been for every year of my career except for one.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't, I mean.
Yeah.
I got knocked down. That's all I can say, but just trying to be myself again.
How do you feel on a scale of how locked in you are the last, say, 3-4 weeks?
There's a ton I still need to get better at. But, I mean, yeah, I feel all right.
Well, it seems like you've been coming to play with more guys on base lately. What can you say about the job that the guys at the bottom of the order have done to kind of turn the lineup around for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been our whole lineup. Everybody's really doing well. Yeah, I mean, the whole lineup. Can't say more about them.
You're also hitting the ball a lot harder, it looks like, than you typically have. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it also seems like you put on a bit of weight since last year. Does that help you with that velocity?
I think I've been hitting the ball hard all year.
What do you account for that?
Squaring the ball up. I typically hit the ball hard my entire career.
A few days ago, Kearney really showed their defense. He said he was really impressed by it. You've obviously been a big goal for a long time now, but do you feel like you've taken some strides defensively this year?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, there's definitely areas I can get better in. But definitely I've slowed the game down compared to when I was younger. So, I think I've gotten better.
Well, what do you like about the way the team has gone about going 6-0 in this homestand? And do you think maybe the kind of roller coaster has leveled off a little bit, the ups and downs of the season?
I'm sure there will be more. So we just got to focus on what we're doing now. Just continue to show up to the field and continue to focus on playing good baseball and picking each other up, playing for each other. You know, that's what a baseball season is, ups and downs. And they come and go throughout the whole season, and we've got more than half of it left. So we'll just continue to focus on what we can focus on.
What's been good about the last 7?
I mean, just playing well. I mean, everybody's competing. Like I said, playing for each other. It's really not too complicated.
Given all the ups and downs of the season and given the fact that there's 100 games left, how does it feel now to be sitting in a playoff spot after this game?
I didn't even know. But I know we're playing good, so that's all I'm focusing on.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Hey, you know what I'm thinking of?
What's that?
But I'm watching that.
Let's hear it.
I'm thinking of Austin Matthews. That was like an Austin Matthews interview.
Yeah. I mean,
When
you're ranking,
it
you can
is.
Talk any way you want to talk.
I know, but what I mean by that is
that's Bo.
Yeah.
You stick a microphone in Bo's face. That's what it sounds like, which is fine. Which is fine.
It was great. He is a guy who is definitely locked in. And I'll tell you what, I think you talk to guys who are on the verge of free agency, and there's two things. Oh, there's usually three trains of thought. One, I'm not thinking about it. I'm just taking it day to day.
Well, you're lying.
Two, yeah, you know, it's on my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
I believe that.
Three, and I'm not going to say who said this. Former Blue Jays free agent said, you might be able to guess who it was. It was an older guy,
mm-hmm.
friend of the show.
Yeah.
The only times I think about my free agency are one, when I'm slumping, or two, when I'm on a roll. And I thought, That's it in a nutshell. One,
yeah.
How much money am I costing myself?
Sure.
Two, oh man, I'm about to break the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly the way it is with a lot of guys in their free agent year. And I mean, I would be that way too, frankly.
Yeah, I think you got to give the organization and John Snyder a lot of credit too. They could have moved him down in the lineup. I mean, the way he hits with runners in scoring position,
oh, yeah.
And you know what they're not getting from certain guys that are on the IL. They could have moved him down. They could have put him in a different spot. They didn't. They left him in a leadoff spot. He looks comfortable there. He's getting in his hip quicker, which is a big deal. You listen to him talk anytime about hitting. He always talks about getting in that hip as soon as he can because of the size of the leg kick. And then it's rhythm and timing and bat path and all those things. When he starts taking sliders and backspinning those things with good posture to right center field, boy, look out. It's just now all of a sudden he can get it to wherever he needs to get it to with different kinds of velocity. And, yeah, if I'm him, I'm driving home a little happier. Like my smile on my face is getting a little bigger because them stats are going up and up and up.
Right. All right.
Somebody's going
to
pay.
Back to the texter's question. And I think you answered it. You let it play out. I'm with you. I'm not saying you don't at some point have a conversation. I mean, I'm sure there are conversations with Bo's agent during the course of the year. How are you feeling? What are you thinking?
Yeah. We got a better option. Somebody can play short. You think you can do that?
Yeah, but
there?
You don't have that talk right now. You don't have that talk right now. You're talking to Bo's people. You're keeping in touch. You're getting a sense of, you know, of where they're at. You're waiting for if there's an indication one way or another, and there probably won't be.
Well, maybe it's front office that'll be doing the talking.
Well, but they have to do the talking right now. If anybody's talking to Bo, it's going to be them. It's not going to be an imaginary GM. So you have those conversations, but, I mean, I'm with you. At this point in time, let it play out. See what happens in the postseason. You know one thing about this team. Ownership will spend money to keep the players it wants. You know what Bo knows? If they really want him, they will spend money to keep him here. Mm. So I think it's very simple. You do with Bo what you were going to do with Vladdy. Mm. You've earned the right to be a free agent.
Yeah.
Go get your best offer.
Maybe.
And then we'll see. And then we'll see whether or not we're going to re-sign you.
For me, it's about winning.
That's irrelevant.
It's not.
It's irrelevant.
All the owner wants to do now is win.
Yeah, but
just made that clear. And if you got two guys who are the cornerstones of your organization and they haven't won since they've been together, maybe it's time to break them up. That's the point.
Like
tough conversation.
I would be. Yeah, but the point is, Kevin, you're missing the point. There's nothing wrong with saying to Bo, go get your best offer and bring it back to us. That doesn't mean they're going to re-sign him.
Well,
that means you're giving him the freedom to get the best offer.
It depends on who's saying it.
You know? So, I mean, that doesn't cost anything. Doesn't cost anything to tell a little white lie. It just doesn't. No, it doesn't. Go get your best contract offer, bring it back.
Bottom line,
they moved on.
The dude's raking. I mean, he's back. He's doing everything from the lower half that he needs to do to, I mean, when he hits the ball line to line like he is right now, I just don't know consistently how you get him out. You know, sometimes it's you want to pull your head off and punt it because you see him swing at things that he swings at. You really do. Like, it's very sometimes hard to watch. And then once he has success doing it, and you're like, holy moly. And then we're told that he's never been more selective than he has in May.
I mean,
in his career, that's a big deal too. There's a reason why he's slugging more.
Yeah. We'll see. I tend to think, yeah.
Get a better pitch to hit to do more damage on.
Yeah,
get paid more money.
I think we tend to forget the first 3 or 4 years of Bo's career and we look at last year. That's the way. And I think that's what Bo is, you know, Bo's answer to a lot of those questions. You're being locked in. He's like, man, I was locked in 3 years ago. I was locked in 4 years
ago. Yeah, well, we just haven't seen it in a while. I think it's fun to watch it. Why is he doing it?
John in Sudbury had a question for us.
I just want to hear what you guys think about John Schneider in general. It seems like whenever we're playing really good baseball, the fans in general really enjoy him as a manager, but it's so vice versa when we're not hitting the ball and pitching well. Do you guys believe in John? Do you think he's here for a long tenure? Or if the Blue Jays really stink it up down the stretch, knock on wood, are we going to see some off-season moves? Let me know. Thanks, guys.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Yes, I believe in him. I have no idea about the latter. It depends on who's coming back.
Depends on the front office. Yeah, if you get a new front office in here, they're going to want to bring their own guy in.
Yes, I believe in him. I mean, like, just look at how he's handled the lineup. The urgency there. I mean, it's never been more urgent. I mean, he will make a move. He'll lead off or hit second or third, maybe not first and second. But after that, he'll do whoever is hitting well in those spots that he has to do to win a baseball game, which is, I mean, he's basically got nothing from a guy that hit 44 big ones last year, and the center fielder's rarely on the field. And the closer is all over the place. And me and Jeff say this all the time. What are they, five games above 500? They're
four above 500.
I mean, that's crazy. Like, with everything that's going on, the way they started the season, with what they weren't doing, the home runs they were giving up.
Yeah, with
who they don't have in their fifth spot, their fourth guy has been, like,
I mean, there's a couple of things good. Here. I mean, first of all, it is safe to say that there are fans who were always, there were fans in this city who didn't like Cito Gaston, and he was winning back-to-back World Series. There are fans in this city who didn't like John Gibbons the first time he was here, and they think, you know, came back here the second time with better players, better pitchers, and a general manager that went all in, and all of a sudden he can walk on water. So, you know, how the fans feel about a manager to me is irrelevant for the most part. I will say this. I think there's been less dissatisfaction with John this year, which is probably the result of the fact that they've, mm-hmm. you know, they've won some games.
Yeah.
I also think people's dissatisfaction in this market is directed squarely at the general manager.
Fair.
And you know what? It's fair, but it's also very much a Toronto thing. This city loves to hate on GMs. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. They love to hate on GMs. And that's just not baseball. That's every sport in this city. No city spends as much time thinking about the general managers mm-hmm. in their particular sports as a team. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. There really is nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Look, I judge John Schneider this way, the same way I judge every other manager. How does he handle his bullpen? Last year, basically the front office punted on his bullpen. So there was nothing anybody could have done last year with that bullpen. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't. They basically went 3 weeks without a closer.
Yeah.
That's just not going to fly. So when he has a good bullpen, or when he has a bullpen of reliable pieces, mm-hmm. I think he does a really good job.
Yeah.
He keeps his old starting pitchers healthy. Now, a lot of that is on Pete Walker and the training staff, for sure.
But and the older guys that are pitching.
And the older guys that are pitching. But John also creates a culture where those guys have a say in what they're doing. And it's ultimately John's decision to take a guy out or leave a guy in. And I would, you know, they're with the exception of the Kevin Gausman situation earlier this year, was that in New York? Was it in New York where he left him in?
I think, yeah. The 52 pitchers or whatever.
Yeah, the 53 pitch thing.
51.
50, whatever 51 it was. Or very seldom, you know, can you look back and say, John made a move where he didn't have a logical reason to
how
make
that
move.
How many games did he lose? It's real hard to sit down and think of an obvious many, game or two that he lost.
And I don't
That's
think.
That's what good managers do. Just don't lose them.
Yeah.
You got enough talent to, if you run the right guy out at the right time who's available that day, because they have more talent, they're going to win more games than they're going to lose.
What I find really interesting about this year in particular, and Dan and Joe talked about this in the telecast today, and actually it's something we're going to talk about, I think, on Blair and Barker tomorrow. If you look at the way the Jays are presently constructed, without Santander and Varsho for the time being, there is a way... Or the team is designed such that John Schneider can at least get the platoon advantage in most situations where he needs it, because they've got enough lefty hitters they never had. I mean, this organization used to never have a lefty hitter, God, let alone a switch hitter. And when Anthony Santander comes back and Dalton Varsho comes back, there is a similarity between this team and a team like the Minnesota Twins, where, you know, Rocco Baldelli, I mean, he'll go to his bench in the fourth or fifth inning. Mm-hmm. He's got no problem doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is something John hasn't had for a while. For a long time, John had a bunch of guys who were probably bench guys, but hit right-handed. And it's just hard. It's hard to run a team of part-timers out there when you don't have the platoon advantage. that makes it a little easier to use guys that you're using.
Well, so, the players have been good.
I think John's had a really good year.
Give the players credit. They've been good. Whenever they've been in the lineup, they've done exactly. We've seen Lucas hit a homer and then bunt in his next at bat. Like, he's doing what they're doing, whatever John tells them to do.
Oh, and all those
which
people,
is all about winning.
You know, all those people who get light in the loafers about small ball and all that. John Schneider is the manager at Nathan Lucas bunt with two strikes.
That's it.
So, you know, there's a lot to like there. Has he prevented them from going to the playoffs? No. It has not been John Schneider who's prevented the Blue Jays from going to the playoffs, at least to my way of thinking. Jim in Calgary had a question for us.
Kevin, nice Virginia Tech shirt you got on.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
And congratulations on your induction there.
It means a lot. Thanks,
Jim.
That's
a heck of an honor. You should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Quick question. You know, Paul Skeens came up with Pittsburgh as with only a year and a bit of pro time. And we've got Yesavage down there who seems to be tearing it up at whatever level he plays. Is it crazy to think that he might be the guy that can come in and maybe be that next last starter? Anyway, look forward to your answer. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, it's a good question. Look, I think they're starting him at every level for a reason. You know, even when he came on our show and he was talking about, and I asked him, you know, what's a work in progress, and he basically said all of his secondary pitches. Like, yeah. You know, it's a and then when I said, you know, how much do you want to throw hard? And he said, every time I release the baseball, it doesn't seem like he's a finished product yet. It's a lot to ask a guy, because basically if you call him up, you're telling him be the savior when it comes to the back end of the rotation. It's not the easiest thing for a college kid to do, and you would almost like him to have a full spring training.
Yes.
Hey, you know, have one of the spots coming out of spring training if Petey's here, and however next year goes, like, you know, if he's having an opportunity to be one of the five starters next year, which he might. And again, you know, again, not every player is always in a hurry to be a big leaguer. Like, you gotta, it's a process. I hate that word. It's a process sometimes with certain guys. And it just seems like listening to him talk on our show, hearing just sort of the rumblings around him, where they've started him, like they basically want him to go at every level and figure it out and strike out and go through whatever it takes to go through those things. Like,
it's also
seems like he's a little ways away just yet.
Yeah, and you know, the numbers aren't the things they look at in the minor leagues anymore. They look at all pitch shape and all that and all that stuff before they decide to bring him up. And I would also caution anybody, and I'm not saying this to be mean or negative, but this organization does have a history of having its high prospect pitchers get injured. So I think they're going to be very careful with Trey Yesavage. Now, I don't know how the front office's long-term stability factors into that. I like to think that nobody in baseball would say, well, I may not be here next year, so what the hell? Let's bring the kid up who isn't ready.
It's not the kid's fault.
I think we need to speak less about Trey Yesavage and start taking a closer look and following Alek Manoah's recovery. Because to me, Alek Manoah is the guy who, if he can somehow be a contributor the end of the season in any form, in the perfect world, if you could get Max Scherzer going and now you got Alek Manoah coming up, you've solved a lot of your issues. And maybe you go to the trade deadline and add another arm at the end of the bullpen.
It seems
right?
like.
So
in the rotation, maybe too.
If you're an optimist, it's easy to see how this situation corrects itself in August and September. The thing is, you got to get yourself to August and September for that too.
It's a good question.
But it is a good question. Yeah, and who, you know, again, who knows? You're dealing with a college guy. You're not dealing with a high school guy.
I just don't know how they grade. Yeah. A college pitcher, you like, what's he have to do to check that right?
And there's only one. And let's
for
be
them
clear.
To, for them to bring him up to help that they think he can help them at the big league level this year.
Yeah, and let's be clear.
I don't know what that box is.
When Paul Skeens was drafted, Paul Skeens didn't surprise anybody by how fast he came up here.
No.
So, you know, there's Paul Skeens, and then there's
and it's
there's
about money.
Else.
It's always about money.
I mean, less so. You know, you start the arbitration. Less so in this case with these guys.
Probably a little.
I mean, if it isn't, you know, Yeah.
Depends on the player, how long they think you'll be here.
I'm not certain it's necessarily about money here. However, you're right. In a lot of cases, it is 9-1. The Jays have beaten the Philadelphia Phillies today at the Rogers Center. They are 33-29. They are in second place in the AL East. They've almost got just like one run away from getting into a positive run differential, which is very much a thing. We'll go into Minnesota tomorrow for a three-game series against the Twins. No Pablo Lopez for the Twins. And again, Carlos Correa battling back issues. So
getting lucky.
A few things
lucky. It's lining up.
A few things are breaking the Jays' way. They really are. Adam in Kamloops, BC reached out to us.
They're starting to hit good now. Do you think when Santander comes back into the lineup, they're going to improve? Or are they good with the things going on right now? The other thing is with the pitching, I feel we have a strong pitching with some weaknesses in the starters. Do you think Scherzer coming back is going to help? Do you think Scherzer coming back is going to just be one of those down lows? Thanks for taking my call, guys. You guys have a wonderful night.
Thanks, Adam.
Very nice. Is Scherzer coming back?
I mean, he'll be back at some point after the he'll be back after the All-Star.
Okay. I mean, how can you count on that till you see him? So I have no idea about that. Yeah,
I'm an optimist about it.
You know, the fourth and fifth guy in your rotation, they got to figure that out.
See this?
He's probably not in the
organization.
See this class? Well, I don't believe it's
class.
It's empty. Nobody can see in there. It's empty. I know you. I've been around you too long, but
I was going to pretend it's
half full, but it's empty. And it is amazing how good your lineup can look when your best hitters are being your best hitters. Like, there's some surprises. Barger's a surprise. Kirky, I think what he's doing, nobody expected him to hit 300. If you did, you're nuts. You know, Springer doing the things he's doing. He had a little bump in the road, and now he's back to being Springer. Like, there's surprises. Don't you look over at me like you're fish-eyeing me or something.
Kirky
come on
hitting
now.
300.
Don't get crazy.
It all
that.
Gets back. Never miss a chance to take a shot at old Kirky.
I'm as big a fan as everybody else is. But
no, you're not.
Nobody was banking the house. That it 3 months in, he's hitting 300. Don't get crazy. You were not. You weren't believing.
I thought
him in Florida in November at the complex throwing the weighted ball that he's hitting 300.
I thought he could hit 300.
Come on now. Let's not get crazy. So there are some. And when Tony gets back, look, Tony's pressure. I mean, they brought Tony here to thump.
Yeah.
And Tony has been MIA. Ha! I mean, it's time. And him and Vladdy. I mean, what was it, 33 game, 34 games? Yeah, that's fun to watch. But he got 8 big ones. He should have 20.
Oh, that streak is over, by the way.
Yeah, I know. He should have 20 homers. With the talent that dude's got,
and
should
the
have 20
that he,
already. Yeah. I'm talking 20. I mean, that dude is farting talent. Like, it's time. All right, you can look all over the place. It's time. Like, I know it's fun to watch him walk. And
it's not fun to watch
him. Not for me.
Walk.
So, yeah, I think it's for them to be where they're at. With what their best players, some of their best players aren't doing. I mean, it's
having him chase. You know what? Here's the thing about the walking, and that suggests to me, at least, that he might be close. Where if he was swinging and missing all the time and striking out, I'm just saying it does.
He's looking that way because he's got talent. It's just all the late. Why is he late all the time?
Well,
he's late today on 91, 92.
You know
ask John tomorrow.
We got John Schneider, the manager,
John,
coming on Blair and Barker tomorrow.
Why is he late all the time?
Like, why is Vladdy late?
You know, and he's got lots of time. It's a little bit of a weird thing to watch consistently all the time.
Oh, it is.
Now today he's not using batting gloves, which is weird.
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. We noticed that last night.
We did last night. I know last night he's chapped because he flew out the runner on third and he ripped his batting glove. I do know that for a fact.
Okay, so that was he ripped his batting gloves, and I guess Vladdy doesn't have another pair.
He was brought a pair, and he was so chapped he didn't feel like putting
them
on.
He went to the plate without batting gloves for his third at bat.
And then I think today he did it in his last at bat against the high school kid at, you know, the position player, whatever that is. I mean, that's tired. You could win the World Series and you're only down 8 and you're throwing a position player. I mean, that's a joke.
You know how I feel about it.
That's a joke.
You use a position player, you should lose a pitcher for the next
game.
That is a
joke.
A reliever, not a starter. You should really lose a reliever for the next game.
So you can tell Vladdy's he's in between. I've been saying this forever. You know, Bo Bichette has that 2-strike thing. He's always got that to go to. We've seen him go to that 0-0. You know, dude is a little quicker. He talks about getting in that hip as quick as he can. Well, if a guy quick pitched him and he can't kick it to his ear, he's going to do that 2-strike thing. Do you ever see Vladdy change?
Nope.
It's this thing, which my hands go down around my chest. I'm fighting them to get them up. What do I do when I'm late? I'm out and around. I'm out. I don't catch it out front and finish it. He does out and around more than finishing it. Why don't he have something else to go to? Maybe eliminate this when this ain't working. I don't know.
Let's go.
I got excited there for no reason.
Well, you did.
Four games above 500, so forget I said all that. I'm happy just like everybody else. I just want to see him. I want to see him go off.
Vladdy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it will be fun if he does.
Yeah. It is. Four games over 500 with no Santander for the most part, and Vladdy turning into the walking man is,
And he's hit some balls hard.
Let's go to the board. Drew, you didn't like that. I thought the walking man. Drew in Ottawa reached out to us on the text line, 590, 590. With Kirk hitting like he is and Heinemann cashing in runs, do the Jays have the best 1-2 catcher punch in the AL?
Fair.
The best 1-2 catcher punch in the AL right now is Cal and Raleigh.
I mean, how long you been? You wrote that down.
I did.
You wrote that down, did you? You
Cal
knew
Raleigh's
that question was coming already?
Pretty much, yeah. That's.
I mean, you can't argue what they're doing. Heinemann, I mean, he sits over there and, you know, can't see for 3 days and gets off the bench and is yanking 97 in the gap. I mean, he's throwing doubles in the gap. I mean, that's pretty sweet, dude. Give him credit. That's awesome.
And you know,
he's a great dude, too. I root for him big time.
I'm going to say this. Yeah, well, at some point, I want to go and look into this, or maybe somebody else will do it for me, because quite frankly, I don't feel that much motivation to do all sorts of math. But I'm wondering.
Khakis running all over the place.
Khakis are like, they're jumping out of their cars in the Gardener right now. They're going all over the place. We got some work to do to save Jeff's ass here, because he doesn't want to do math. What? I wonder, you know, Chris Bassett not happy with his last start.
Yep.
Tyler Heinemann comes in today. It works. I'm not blaming Kirk. I'm not saying that at all.
It's had nothing to do with
it. No. But I'm wondering, you've talked about, and other guys have talked about, Heinemann, more expressive. You watch him. I mean, he calls pitches in.
Yeah.
You know, he was working back and forth with Bassett.
Seemed like
Bassett
he's pushing the button more than Bassett was pushing.
I'm wondering if maybe, isn't something about a catcher who can help pitchers correct things. I'm not saying he's there in a day-to-day basis.
I think it's the
Maybe Heinemann goes with Bowden Francis the next time and see if he can get Bowden Francis.
I thought you loved Kirky. Why are you saying this?
No, because I do think that there are some catchers, they're almost like doctors. Go visit Dr. Heinemann. Dr. Heinemann, here's my couch. Sit down. What do you want
to do? I don't think that was it. I think he was uncomfortable standing on the third base side of the rubber. You mentioned they've been doing a really good job of keeping themselves healthy. Healthy means you move on the rubber. He made it a point to say about his body, that his body was feeling weird on the third base side. He fixes it by moving on the first base side.
Yeah.
So you stay on the field longer. Means you get the ball every 5 days. You're better to do that than somebody else because basically they don't got anybody else. Mm. So me, personally, it's like sort of when you pay dudes offensively, you shouldn't have to walk up to fix them. I'm paying you because you know how to fix yourself. Every once in a while, you just need to walk by and go, I don't know, some code word like foot or ear. I don't know. Some word that just all of a sudden it goes wham. That's all. So I'm in that.
I mean, you're the guy who comes on the air all the time and says, you know, they got to fix these guys. They got to fix them. Now you're saying they don't have to fix them. Now you're saying the hitters have to.
Who's they?
You said they. Can they fix you? We can go back and get the tape. You've said all along, can they fix Santander? That's what's going to be important. Can they fix this guy? Can they fix that guy? Now you're telling me that it's up to the players to fix themselves. Physician, heal thyself. That's essentially what you're saying.
I'm not blaming the GM. I'm blaming the players. You say everybody wants to blame the GM. I'm blaming the players. So there you go. He gave him a hundo to fix himself. How's that?
Matt in Dorchester reached out to us.
My question is, I'm just wondering if we get one more legitimate starter anywhere here up until the deadline, is this a playoff contending team and even a World Series contending team?
Oh.
I like what I'm seeing out of the offense, and I think one more starter on the back end, we're going to be looking good. Thanks.
Oh, you're missing the W. You mentioned the W word.
Yeah, you had me until that. Meaningful games in September, absolutely. They got enough. Horses. They're going to get Tony back. He'll figure it out. Pedigree.
He's going to fix himself.
He'll figure it out. Varsho, as long as he's playing, he'll hit homers. So that'll be enough, like, you know, to fill in the blanks and score enough runs. It's just the 4 and 5 guy in the rotation and that closer that every once in a while is like, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there's some things there, but I think their team's good enough. Yeah, and the American League is not real good.
This is the year. This is the year I think the GM's got to. I mean,
and I think he will.
And I'm
I think it will.
I will because Ross is not. This is why last year to me was just so frustrating early last year.
Well, maybe they were telling you something.
Because Ross has always, for the most part, gone out and addressed pitching issues. Mm. Again, I know people get tired of me saying this, but, you know, adding Adam Simber and the guy whose name I forget, Trevor Richards. Yeah, not big acquisitions, but you know what? Turned out to be huge acquisitions. Yeah. Got them to the postseason that year.
Helped.
And Ross will do that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think every Jays fan, even with a healthy Anthony Santander, would like to have another impactful bat.
Well, you're asking
a lot. I think we
lot.
All figure they could use that.
So you need an eighth inning guy, a starter who can give you quality innings, bat.
With all due respect.
Were they trading the Blair and Barker check?
With all due respect, they couldn't get a bucket of balls for us.
Well, maybe for this half.
With all due respect, I wasn't going to say that they're going to go out and trade for all those things.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't think you get a middle of the order hitter.
You know what's
in season.
Bad is
it's easier at the trade deadline to go out and add a pitcher.
You know what's bad is all the other teams that are in the mix too are all looking for the same thing.
Not really.
So you're competing.
No. I mean they're all looking for pitching. They're all looking for pitching.
Absolutely.
I thought you were talking about middle of the order.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're all looking for pitching. 100%. Take a look at every trade deadline. What are all the rumors about? For the most part, they're about pitching.
Ozuna would look good hitting cleanup for the Jays from the Braves. You think Alex will do him a solid?
No.
No?
No.
I have to ask.
Dave and Sarnia reached out to us on the back leg line.
Who do you think in the lineup has the highest ceiling?
Oh, I
love there's comparisons of Adam Barger to somebody like a Josh Donaldson. What do you guys think about those comments? And, anybody to look out for kind of for the future? Thank you.
Oh, I like that question. I don't know who would have compared him to Josh Donaldson. You know, Josh Donaldson in this show is just slightly less than a deity. I mean, we both, I admit, we're both charter members of the JD fan club. Highest ceiling, I would not argue with Barger just because what he has is so intriguing.
Yeah.
And because the questions, Kevin,
uh-huh.
Let's say that he becomes a really, really good player.
Yeah.
Think of the questions he answers for you.
Yeah.
Everyday third baseman with good defense and a middle of the order left-handed bat with power.
Yeah.
So that's why where I think his high ceiling
is. I don't know who the any other name would be other than Barger. Who's the other name? Lucas? No, I mean, he's up there in age. Classe, yeah. He's a fourth outfielder. He ain't playing. Jimenez, I mean, he's an everyday
Schneider's
second
older.
Baseman.
Clement is, you know,
Schneider, you know, he's a left-handed specialist. Like, is there any other name you'd
talk about?
I think Barger's an everyday guy.
I think it was all, the caller was also talking about down in the minor leagues. I mean, Alan Roden is up in the major leagues now. I don't think he's got the same, Will Wagner's
everybody's
a guy.
Talking about him leading off.
Yeah, it's amazing. You don't hear anything about him. Now he's hurt, but you don't hear a lot about that anymore. Aurelvis Martinez. I'll tell you. I used to look up Aurelvis Martinez's stats every day. I haven't looked it up once this year, and you don't hear anything about
ever.
Aurelvis Martinez.
Well, Barger will do that to you. Barger and him play sort of the same position.
The bigger point about Addison Barger is if he does come good, he solves two, like God bless Ernie Clement, but if Addison Barger can play defense and hit 20, 30 home runs as a lefty hitter, he answers two of your most pressing questions.
That's why you get Tony back doing his thing. You get Varsho back doing his thing. You can move Ernie into that sort of fifth middle infielder, roving around, giving guys days off. He doesn't have to play every day. That's his strength. Now you got Barger playing third. Tony can play right. You could DH, you know, Springer whenever you want to DH Springer. Like if you get those two dudes back who are everyday guys and sort of hit Barger, say, in the sixth or seventh hole, Man, you're talking cooking with gravy, and your lineup's longer, and you got a dude to hit that can hit lefty, that can hit maybe 15-ish. Jeff, don't you tease me like that. Perfect scenario. So, I mean, there's a lot have to come to head there, and everything would have to work out. But you could close your eyes and picture it, and he's an everyday guy. Is there anything you've seen baseball IQ-wise that will tell you he's not an everyday guy? No. Absolutely not. So,
it's
fun to watch.
His quick thinking, the things he's had to think about at third base, he's had a couple of plays where he's made the right decision on difficult plays.
Yeah.
And that coupled with the fact that that arm is just, it's such an equalizer.
Yeah, and
I mean, it really is.
It would be easier to get everybody back to where he could play third every day and not have to flip-flop back and forth from right to third.
Yeah.
Because I don't like
that. And regardless of what this team's payroll is or going to be, man, you do need, if you can get a guy who's going to be an offensive machine and earn, you know, less than, like
you
be arbitration
machine.
Eligible you for a few years.
On
well, no, I'm saying if he could be, he's going to stay. He's going to save you a lot of money because all of a sudden you're not going to be going out.
You are just
all of a sudden. There you go. 9-1, the Blue Jays beat the Philadelphia Phillies. They will go to Minnesota to more take on the Twins. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Mississauga on Lakeshore Road and Watline Avenue. Crown is proud to be Canadian owned and operated since 1986. So protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center, or you can visit crown.com. Crown is Canada's number one rust protection.